shoot the defense. It's unbelievable, Jeff.
It's the biggest club in the world. It's a club that is hungry to win the league again, to be dominant in the world again, and this sort of opportunity that I always wanted since a child. And
I didn't want to play for any other club in England other than Everton, and I think once I knew Everton were interested and wanted to sign me, I made my agent aware, you know, go and speak to them, let's make it happen, that's where I want to go.
Welcome to Shoot the Defence, brought to you by the FNX Network, My Sportswear and Youth Energy Drinks. I'm your host, Stel, and joining me is Rodri Giggs and Paul Parker. Great to have you back on the show, gents. Rod, how you doing? I heard you had a charity game today.
Yeah, charity game, bit sore, played a load of young lads, so they give us a run around. Beat us 3-2, but yeah, it was a good day. It's a good day.
Did you give a few kicks?
No, it wasn't that kind of game today, so no, I didn't give out a few kicks today. I didn't get any either, so it was happy days.
Nah, fair enough. Paul, you well, mate?
Yeah, I'm fine, thank you very much.
Great stuff. Well, guys, before we start the show, I'd just like to say a huge thank you to everyone who listened to last week's show on FNX. We got over 29,000 unique listens, and that's our first United show, so long may it continue. I'd like to thank both of you and obviously Martin for making it a really good show. Not bad.
Cheers, thank you.
Yeah. Right, gents, so the big stories dominating this week's football involve players either leaving United or joining Everton and vice versa. Romelu Lukaku became United's second summer signing in a $75 million deal, which potentially rises to £90 million, depending which way you see it. And Wayne Rooney did his best prodigal signing impersonation, returning to Everton. Paul, what was your initial reaction when you heard the news of United's offer for Lukaku? Because it kind of came out of the blue, didn't it?
I suppose when you look at him as an individual, I think a lot of people are surprised. But I think the story has been going around for a long, long time. It's been going around, I should say. It's been mentioned, his name's been mentioned with Morata, and then there was the Italian boy. I was still surprised that it happened because, again, I'm still living in this maybe tunnel vision world of a Manchester United player. And I look at Lukaku, and Lukaku is not really what I'd ever foresee as a Manchester United player in the manner in which he plays. His greatest strength for Manchester United will be that over the last two or three years, they'll have a centre-forward who will look to face the goal and running behind. That's what he's got. But when you look at him in general play, I think that's the bit that everyone's talking about, the bit that you will not be looking at him to maybe be your player, the centre-forward that you're going to play a lot of football through.
Yeah, that's a fair point. Fair point indeed. Rod, we said on the show a few weeks ago, mate, that Mourinho, his list of players probably involved like a plan A to D for each position. So is it a chance, or do you think Lukaku was below Morata in the list, or is Morata still on Jose's radar?
He may still be on his radar, but I don't see him being above Lukaku because he's not proven in the Premiership. And we've seen it before with Spanish players coming over to the Premiership who score goals over in Spain and they don't score in the Premiership. So Lukaku's a proven Premiership goal scorer, so I see him above Morata, but he may still be on the list because he's a top class striker and he's young, so it's still being a possibility because it still leaves us light with Rooney going now and no Zlatan. All right, we've got Rashford, but you know we need more than that.
Yeah, I agree. Well, gents, how much would you guys pay for a 24-year-old striker who scored 85 Premier League goals in four seasons? Now, for me, United have paid potentially £90 million for someone who's a proven goal scorer and can still improve. For me, it's a no-brainer. What do you guys think?
In my opinion, I don't think you can actually go out there and maybe name or put a price on someone at 24. There could be anything. I mean, you look at Harry Kane. How much is Harry Kane worth now? I mean, that's what a lot of Tottenham fans will be saying, if anyone come and get Harry Kane, you're talking well over £100 million now. So to put a price on him is very difficult because, in my opinion, this is a fact of he's done what he's done at Everton. When you're getting stats, and I hate stats, you look at who he scored his goals against and how much the game's mattered when he has scored his goals. So there's a lot of negatives on that side. And as what Rodri just said there, the thing is he is proven in the fact that he has scored a lot of Premier League goals. Now, the only way he can do it, in my opinion, is to go upwards, which is going to be tough for him at Manchester United. But he won't go backwards, and the simple reason he's proven as a goal scorer. So going to Manchester United, his game is definitely going to improve because he'll be playing with better players. And then the rest of it is going to be up to him, how he goes on from there. But what I've just seen in the papers today, the papers for tomorrow morning back in the UK, is that he's actually come out and said that I need to work harder. He's actually come out and said that. That's how the headline, that's what he's saying. Now, if he's saying that, then that's not a great statement to make, really, because if you're an Everton fan or anybody involved, you suddenly think, so what? You wasn't working hard for us then?
Rod?
Yeah, like Paul says, the number one target would be Harry Kane, but obviously he's talking over 100 million for him. But then you look at the second on the list, and Lukaku, he fits the bill. He's obviously got to work on a few things, but, you know, he's a proven goal scorer. And you know, Paul will tell you, even playing when he played at United, United will get more chances than Everton. So he possibly will score more goals, he'll get the chances. So we'll just have to wait and see. But he does need to work on a few things. Everyone knows that. His touch isn't the best for a top striker. So, you know, there's a few things he needs to iron out. But he's at the right place to do that.
The thing is, how many 24-year-old strikers are the finished article? I mean, I don't think Shearer was the finished article at 24. Henri, sure as hell, wasn't the finished article at 24. Van Nistelrooy wasn't. This guy has got effectively, 6 years before he peaks? I don't think it's a bad sum of money. And as I said, on paper, you're guaranteed goals. I think only Aguero scored more than him since 2012, 2013.
Yeah, for me... For me, the money issue it's not an issue. It's Manchester United. They've got the money. I'm sure they will recoup the money back on sales and shirts and whatever they do. So the money's not an issue. They've got the money. They're the biggest club in the world. So, and he scores goals. So the money's not an issue for me.
What you just mentioned there, Stel, as well as the players prior, with what it took them a while to get into it. I think we have to say is that. But once they got the opportunity to move to a bigger club with better players around, all of a sudden the quality come out and they actually went on to produce what everyone was hoping to and what was expected of them as well. So Lukaku is in that position to go and do that as well. I mean, everyone saw Alan Shearer, what he'd done at Blackburn. Then all of a sudden he goes to Newcastle. And then even then he stepped forward when he went to Newcastle. Henri struggled a bit at Juve, gets to Arsenal, a little bit of time, and then he becomes what he became, which everyone talks about still, as Henri when he was at Arsenal. Bergkamp, there's been good players, potential-wise, who've come into the Premier League, but going to the right club and then go and being around top players makes a big, 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 big difference. But on the other side of the coin, there's been many a player who's gone to a big club and it's become a graveyard for them because all of a sudden they can't deal with what's around them. The expectations, especially going to Manchester United, as a centre-forward of a record like he's got so far, you know, and he's lived in the Northwest a long time now. There ain't no room for waiting, you know, no settling-in period. The manager won't give him a settling-in period because he knows he's not going to get one now because of what he's gone and spent. So, you know, there's a big onus on Manchester United and on Lukaku. First of all, for Lukaku to deliver and Lukaku himself to deliver. He needs to deliver now. So it'd be interesting to see what happens next season.
Well, that's a perfect segue to what I was about to ask you, Paul. I mean, we've seen the weight of the shirt, so to speak, affect many footballers over the years. And Lukaku, with the greatest respect to Everton, he's at a much bigger club. Is he psychologically up for the challenge? Can he cope with the levels of expectancy, not just because of the fee? I guess having Pogba there as his mate or his best mate, who knows the club inside and out, should help. What do you guys think?
Well, I personally think you can have everything around you, but it's about you as an individual. I mean, my time, I saw a player struggle. It took me a while when I arrived to suddenly come from Queen's Park Rangers to suddenly go to Manchester United and there's more people around you and everything is talking. All the talk is about achievement. Everything's about a positive, not kind of that attitude of, well, we're not going to get, as long as we don't get relegated, it's about winning titles, winning competitions. So can he deal with that? From being a big fish at Everton and a big, big fish he was at Everton to suddenly coming to Manchester United and virtually having to start well down the pecking order as a preference as a player to most people around. Is he going to be able to deal with that scenario? There's so many permutations of being a Manchester United player, and there hasn't been many. And there's only, I think of one during my time, and one I can think of now who actually arrives at Manchester United and hits the ground running, and that was Eric Cantona. Now, Lukaku can go and do that, and we're talking about him, about a goal scorer, and then straight away, if he does that, then that's him on the road to having a fantastic career at Manchester United.
Rod, is he mentally strong enough to cope?
Yeah, I think so. He looks like a confident boy, you know, he likes the club. And, you know, by looking at him with his antics with Pogba, he looks like a confident boy. I'm sure he'll be fine.
Great, fantastic. Yep. Heard you, mate. Paul, when you look at Lukaku's style of play, mate, does he remind you of anyone you actually came up against?
If anything more, he's like an old-fashioned centre-forward. There's no great technical ability. You can see that he looks to get in behind people. He wants to run. He wants to run at goal one against one. And that's a great strength of his when he gets there. The thing that when he's at United is that he's got to change. He has to change in certain ways. But I look at someone, or I look at Andy Cole. When Andy Cole arrived at Manchester United, Andy Cole, every goal he was scoring for Newcastle, he was being teed up very nicely by a certain player called Peter Beardsley. And Andy was always facing the goal, always facing the goal. He comes to Manchester United and Andy just adapted his game to a different style of play and become a Manchester United great off the back of it. He changed his game. He added more to his game. He had different players around him, better players around him, and he changed his game and it made him to what he's seen as now as a Manchester United great. Lukaku still has to change his game, but I think the style that Manchester United are going to be playing with Mourinho in charge, obviously it's going to be about him suddenly getting an angry side to him, on his physical side, and he's going to have to change slightly to a more as a centre forward in that more of a Drogba mode. I think that's what Mourinho's looking for. He's not looking for an Andy Cole. He's looking more towards that Drogba because every side he has that centre-forward that kind of plays in between the box. Doesn't really look to run out in wide areas. And I think that's what he wants from a centre-forward. And I think that's what Lukaku would be asked to do.
He makes that big guy up front the focal point, doesn't he?
Yeah, he definitely does that.
The thing is, someone asked me a question the other day about Lukaku, and they said, well, is he the type of striker that should be at Man United? And the thing is, when you look at United over the years, and let's say the start of the Premier League, 92-93, there hasn't been a striker like Lukaku at United. Over the years, we've had Solskjaer, Cole, York, Sheringham, Dion Dublin, even Brian McClare play up front, Mark Hughes. None of those players, or should I say Lukaku, isn't similar to any of those players. He's got his own playing style. So when someone says to me, oh, will he fit into United's system? It's precisely what you said, Paul. Mourinho's system is completely different to what we're used to over the years. So anything that he puts in front of us now is his way. So obviously we're not accustomed to seeing what he's setting up.
No, that's correct. That's the bit when people do come out and say that he's not a United player, but we've got to remember United under Mourinho is a different entity to what it was under Sir Alex. So we're going to see different types of players. We're going to see a different style of play. Lukaku has to learn to become a Mourinho centre-forward more than anything. That's what he has to do. And you saw the way they played with Zlatan, the way it was. But the difference is that Lukaku is not really going to want to be pulling away and looking to attack the ball, to win headers at the far post, to put them across the box or even to go for goal. That's not his strength. One of his games is that he doesn't really go to look to do that. He's looking the ball into his feet. He's looking for so he can face people and run at people. So to go into areas looking to win headers is not really one of the things that he'll be looking for. It's going to be the game plan is not really going to change a lot. It's just a different person in that number nine position who adds something that Zlatan never had, which is that energy and pace to maybe run behind.
Fair point. Very, very good point. Rod, when you add Lukaku to the list of Bailly, Lindelof, Fellaini, Pogba, and possibly Matic, because that still might happen, it seems as if Jose is setting up a very physical side, mate. Would you say United were a little bit soft last season?
I wouldn't say soft. You know, look at the chances, how many draws we had at Old Trafford, how many chances we created in them games. So I wouldn't say soft. You know, this is the way Mourinho likes to set up his teams. You like big, strong individuals. You know, let's not forget we've got some small players as well. So it's nicely balanced. But you need these big fellas. And they've got good athletes. They're not mobile. So, and they're good footballers. So I don't... It's the way Mourinho likes to play. He likes the strong individuals and he likes to outpower teams. Hence, that's why he brings Lukaku in. He's got strength, he's got power, and he'll add that to the squad that he's already got.
Absolutely. Paul, the thing is, they say that 94 side that you played in won games in the tunnel before a ball was even kicked. I mean, when they line up against the likes of, I don't know, Schmeichel, Keane, Ince, Cantona, Hughes, they lose the battle from a psychological standpoint. Are we seeing something similar being assembled by Mourinho?
I don't think you can go and assemble it that straight away. You have to earn the right. And I would say that team earned the right because of what they was achieving on the pitch. Mourinho has to achieve first before maybe that gives you that psychological edge before you go out in the field. When people would look at a team that's achieved something, they'd look at that team that then is showing the reasons why they've achieved, and that's called the next step then is consistency. So that's what you'd be looking to try and build, and you can go and get the biggest players you want, but as we know already via Barcelona, having the biggest players on the pitch don't win your games of football. You still at some point have to play football, otherwise you're a little bit too predictable in what you're looking to do. So I still want to see Manchester United play football, because I think once they're going... Everyone wants to watch Manchester United, but everyone loves to watch a Manchester United side who play carefree and play with pace and, you know, attacking from everywhere. You know, a static Manchester United, as we've seen in the last four seasons, whatever it has been, hasn't been enjoyable to watch. Haven't really got a lot out of it. Yes, won two trophies last season, but I still think there's still a lot of room there for improvement on the footballing side, because there's enough good players to still add that edge, add that bit of football, I should say, and still go on and win a league title.
Great stuff. Okay, so over at Goodison, Wayne Rooney received a hero's welcome upon his return to the club. Paul, Rodri and I have been quite, how shall we say, critical of Rooney's performances at United over the past 3 to 4 seasons, I'd say. Did he overstay his United welcome, or was this the perfect time to leave?
I've been very critical of Wayne Rooney, how he has been, but that's more about him, you know, more than anything. It's about him not showing enough, in my opinion, just maybe sitting back and was trying to make it happen rather than not trying to make it happen, but actually sitting there and thinking it was going to happen, because he lost everything. He lost everything that he actually brought to Manchester United when he arrived at this young 17-year-old energy levels. He was very, he was just petulant in what he'd done because he had this desire to win everything. And all that bit was lost. And somehow he needed to get back. Sir Alex remarked on it in the latter stages of his time there and Wayne took that personally. Instead of keeping quiet about it, he talked about it. Press-wise, he wasn't happy. But more than anything, I think Sir Alex was looking for a reaction from him, for him to turn around and want to prove him wrong and go out there and then show the people that he still is a great player. And I think last season was, I think, the one that really he would have looked at himself and knowing that I hopefully believed that he let himself down. And when he's let himself down, he's let the club down as well. So I'm hoping that now he's gone back to Everton, that he's going to go back and he's going to go back there and be what he was when he left 13 seasons ago. He ain't going to be the same. He ain't going to be the same high tempo, a bit slower. I don't think people are expecting that. But I think people definitely, and the Evertonians, as much as they will love Wayne Rooney coming back because they see the ones that they're the ones who made him, is that they'll be truly honest. And if he's not doing it right, they will let him know straight away, because they can see something slowly happening with Koeman in charge, a new stadium coming up, and they don't want anything to derail that. So as much as the prodigal son is returning, the prodigal son has to hit the ground running as fast as he can to help with the new players coming in, and more than anything, to help with the young players that they're bringing through already. They want him to look, for them to look at him and say, wow, look what Wayne Rooney's achieved, where he's been. And he needs them to see that what he's doing now is correct, and he isn't that kind of player. Finished the season quite ponderous at Old Trafford.
Yeah, that's right. The thing is, people call Wayne Rooney a legend, and to be honest, he's a legend, but I like to call him like a statistical legend. And by that, I mean, you can't argue with what he's achieved at the club. You know, he's the all-time leading goal scorer. He's won practically every cup competition or, club competition there is to win at the club. But the thing is, there's that dark cloud hanging over his head, which happens to be that tantrum he threw in 2010. On one side, I can kind of understand why he did that to some extent. I mean, you know, Ronaldo was sold. It practically castrated United. And then they brought in the likes of Obertan, Valencia and Michael Owen. And it's almost like you're replacing a battering ram or a wrecking ball with a feather duster. Rod, what's your opinion on Rooney's time at the club?
Well, there's no doubt he's a legend at the club. His record speaks for itself. You know, all this dropping back to midfield business, I didn't agree with. You know, for a midfielder, his ball retention wasn't good enough. He gave the ball away too many times. He made his lane for being a number 10 or scoring goals. So that's where he should have been. You know, you can't not say he's a club legend. Look at the record that he's got, how many goals he scored for the club, the work rate he puts in. Even though his form dipped, his work rate never dipped. So you can't not call him a club legend. He always will be. And it just leaves, for me, it leaves a bitter taste what happened and how he went about it. But I can put that aside. From on the football side, yeah, he's definitely a club legend. That's not in doubt.
Should he have left sooner, though, as I asked Paul before? Because obviously there was the contract extension in 2013 when David Moyes came. I think that was Ed Woodward's first season. So was that the right decision?
Possibly, but Wayne's character is he's good enough, and he's a captain of the club, and he would have been playing. So he would have been trying to get into, maybe he should have gone, but you know, the amount of money he's on, no one would have took him, and he doesn't want to take a, you just don't know the ins and outs of it. But he's probably stayed because he's on a good wage. And, you know, he maybe thought he could get back into the first team, but it's just not worked out for him.
Yeah. The thing is, something tells me that back then they were happy to offer him a new contract because he was more marketable. But when you fast forward 3-4 years, obviously Pogba's here now, Lukaku's here. There are more players that you can call, I don't know, poster boys, pin-up boys, whatever you want to call them.
Possibly so, but that's, you know, we know they pay him a lot of money, but they would have made a lot of money on Wayne Rooney as well by shirts, sponsors, and whatever he did for the club. So, you know, good luck to him. Like I say, being a legend at the club is never in doubt.
Fair enough. The thing is, I get the feeling that we're going to see a different Wayne Rooney at Everton than the one we've seen at United for the past few seasons. I mean, let's be honest, he still has a lot to offer the club. I mean, I'm talking on and off the pitch. What do you guys expect to see from Rooney this coming season? Paul?
I just want to see someone who gets back to near what he was. Someone who you're not sitting there and you're kind of cringing because you've seen someone who was a great, suddenly like almost capitulating in his game. And someone whose face was just showing so much stress because it just wasn't going. Things that he knew he could do, but he just couldn't do because he just hasn't looked after himself as he should have done. That's what I want to see. I want to see him go out there and try and get near to what he was. As we've seen, there's been so many great players in the Premier League who have kind of got to their point of their career where they couldn't do what they were great at, what they were good at, what they're renowned for, but they adapted their game. So Wayne Rooney has to adapt his game, but if he adapts his game, he has to be a focal point in that game, because we do know that Wayne was instrumental in anything in that final third of the pitch. Going forward, he was involved with everything with Manchester United, even going back deep into midfield. when he had that desire, he was important to Manchester United in those areas. And he needs to go and do the same with young players, just for the fact that those young players can look at him and they can say, that's what happens if you work hard and you listen. And who at Wayne Rooney's done, be it anywhere else, be it maybe, even not Everton, I can go and maybe achieve something. So I hope he goes and does that in that manner, especially when he's going back to his own backyard as well. The last thing he wants to do is go and make a mess there, because he has to live with that for the rest of his life.
Yeah, that's right. And the thing is, I think Everton have got four players that were in the England under 20 World Cup winning squad. So no doubt they'll learn from him. Obviously, Jordan Pickford is still young. Michael Keane is still young. Even Klassen, the central midfielder that's coming, he's still young. So having someone like Wayne Rooney, who knows the club, obviously, inside out, knows the area, it can only help them settle, can't it?
Yeah, it definitely can. It's in a good position. There must be a good vibe around Everton at this moment in time. As I mentioned before, with the ground and Wayne coming back, Everton have always had a very good old boys brigade. They, you know, with their old players, and Duncan Ferguson's still there, one of Wayne Rooney's heroes from when he was a young player as well. So there's a good vibe at Everton, and they've got, in my opinion, a very, very good manager as well, who's been given a bit of money to spend now. And him being Dutch as well, the Dutch aren't scared to push themselves out there. They're not scared to promote themselves as great managers. Koeman is in that same ilk, so I'm looking for a better season. I'll be surprised if they don't have a better season next season, Everton, because especially playing at Goodison at the moment, when there's a good vibe at Everton, they are a very, very difficult club to beat at Goodison. And even over difficult seasons over the last few, I would say, they've always still had that kind of bit of going now. And trying to win at Goodison hasn't been easy. And now with the fans, with something positive for them now, which they've been in indulgence, living under the cloud of Liverpool for many years, I think now they can just smell something with the new ground. That means they're getting a little bit closer to Liverpool.
Mm, absolutely. And Roy, what do you reckon? Do you think he'll get 20 goals next season?
Yeah, I hope he does. You know, it's like Paul was saying, it's fantastic for the young lads there, because he's got a great attitude. He'll bring, obviously, experience, but it's a different kind of pressure for him now. He's not at Manchester United. He's at a club that he loves to play at, and it's a different kind of pressure for him. I'm sure he'll be able to handle that pressure, but like I said, it's a different kind of pressure. But I think he'll do well. Like Paul says, they've got a great squad there. It's a difficult place to go. And Manchester now, they've always been pushing. And when David Moyes was there, or Martinez was there, and then the dip. But I think Koeman will make them a bit better next year. So you should be looking at a top six side, especially with the players they're bringing in as well.
Yeah. He's obviously got a point to prove. But you mentioned the word pressure. I think it's a pressure that he enjoys this time round. Do you know what I mean?
It is a pressure that he enjoys, but has he got the same powers that he used to have? Can he bring them performances out and be the old Wayne Rooney, or is he gone forever?
That remains to be seen. That remains to be seen.
That's exciting. I hope it goes well for him.
Fantastic. Well, great. That's all we got time for, guys. Thanks for everyone that's tuned in and listened live, or even listened on FNX. I'd like to thank you, Paul and Rod, for taking the time out to appear on the show. Would you guys like to give our listeners your Twitter handles before we go?
All right, I'll go first. Paul Parker 2.
Great. Rod?
Mine's Rod James Giggs.
Fantastic. Great stuff. Now, guys, if you're not already following us, give us a follow on Twitter at Shoot the Defence. We also have a Facebook group page. And one more thing, I'd just like to say a massive thanks to our partners, MySportswear, Youth Energy, and FNX Network. Until next time, take care.